Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by 1,000 miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is a brand new episode of Gaming Uncensored, and we are the coming of the apocalypse. And the reason why is because for the second week in a row, we are on the air!
It is exactly 1 week since the last time we did a show, which it's been a long time since it's been 1 week since we did a show.
Thank you, PewDiePie Cog, for making us honest!
That's right. Michael.
Crap, now we gotta be on time, because... feels a fan of
it. I know,
so,
right?
Yeah.
it's a good problem to have.
I really do feel like the end of the world might be coming because this is not normal for us, but I like it.
I do too. So I'm pumped that we're here.
I'm very excited. This is my favorite place to be. I met a new person this week, and I have neglected to tell her. I think she's actually going to be helping me out.
Nice.
So you may meet her at some point. But I had neglected to tell her the name of the show because I'm afraid of what she will think when she sees it. So that should be interesting. She was in my house about a half hour ago. And if you can believe it, I found somebody with occupational therapy skills.
Nice.
So either I'm going to get in really good shape or I'm going to die. I haven't figured out which yet. But one of those two things is going to happen at some point.
Fair enough.
I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah. That's great. And that's super exciting.
I've been playing some games. I know you have too. Not as much as I should be. But I have been playing some Diablo still, and fired up Horizon for about 30 minutes this afternoon, because the great thing about having a show every week is, like, I look up and go, crap, it's been 6 days, I haven't played the games, I gotta play something!
Right.
So, it's gonna be a good show, because not only have we played games, but we got a lot to talk about.
We do. We've got some news from China, which is interesting. we'll get into that. We've got a couple of things from Sony, some controversy that they kind of put the fire out on, but we'll still talk about it because it's still interesting. And an announcement of not a state of play. This is a PlayStation showcase that is coming up this week.
Wow.
So, anticipate getting some juicy details about some stuff. I would imagine Horizon will be a big chunk of that. Curious if we'll talk about it when we get there. I will speculate about what other games they may show off at that point. We also have, and this is one we're going to have to talk about for a while because we were jonesing to talk about it before we hit record. We've got gameplay from the Marvel XCOM Midnight Suns, which is less XCOM than we were anticipating.
Okay. So we talk a lot about how you and I grew up. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the many similarities of how we grew up being, 2 hours away from each other our entire lives, essentially, is that we either played Magic or were around people who played Magic.
Yep.
And the thing about
Magic
this,
Together.
Yes.
Yes. The card game and, thing is going to tie in here.
and we'll get to that in a second. But I got to tell you, after seeing that trailer for the Marvel game, now I got my Magic Jones on. Right. Like, oh, I kind of missed that. So that's cool. We're going to have a good time.
I do too. I need to see it. They have it on like mobile, you know, where I play it every like 2 or 3 years just to scratch that itch for a little bit. I've got the, you know, I've still got my cards somewhere in my house. I haven't broken them out in 15 years, but yeah, they're somewhere. I need to go through and see what I got that's worth some money at this point, because there's at least a few cards that I had that were you know, good back in the day. And I don't know, like, I've not followed Magic at all for the last 15 years. And so I don't know if those have, like, appreciated in value or if, like, nobody cares about the old cards anymore. And so I need to look them up and see what kind of value I could get for selling them, because honestly, I don't ever play anymore.
I lived in the household where that stuff was kind of frowned upon. So I had to go hang out with people who played. And so of all of the different games and stuff that we played growing up, what I do not have are Magic cards. And I'm super jealous of you. Like, I want you to go and dig them out of wherever they are, because I want to see that.
Right. Yeah. Next time we get together, we should do that. That'd be really fun. I want to see it. I've just been so long since I've seen them and played with them. And just, yeah, it would be fun to break those out.
I really feel like there's two things that when we retire and we have time, there's two things that need to happen. And that is regular D&D.
Yep.
And Magic.
Yeah.
Well, those two things need to happen on a regular basis, because I ran in a D&D campaign a couple years ago with some guys at work. And it's just so much fun.
Yeah, it really is.
It just is.
Yeah. Yeah. I miss that. It's been a while since I've been a part of a D&D campaign. I talk about it with some friends every now and then. We just haven't made it happen yet. So hopefully at some point, but yeah, D&D is just a blast. It's just, yeah, such a great experience. So anyway, we've got lots of good stuff on the show. Really quick before we start talking about games, though, because I know we've got some games to talk about. Big thanks to the Patreon guys: Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, Zeke, Chris, Brigham, Sam, and Andrew. Thank each and every one of you. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, do we have anybody new? Because I noticed we made some extra money.
We did make some extra money. I was trying to figure that out. I went and dug around the Patreon, and I'm not exactly sure what happened. We don't have anybody new, and so I was trying to figure out if somebody upped their pledge. So if you did, thank you, because that little bonus was nice. We weren't expecting that. So, if you want to support us on Patreon, you can do that by going to gamingunsensored.com. Click on that Become a Patron link there at the top. You will get the video of this podcast if you would like to see us right now. I have my Metroid shirt on today because we're going to talk some Metroid as well. Great new trailer for the new Metroid game coming in. So, come check us out on video if you so desire. I still don't know why people would.
I do the during the intro, I do the radio thing that you should never do, that people on the radio do all the time that you never hear, which is talk while the production is running.
Right.
And we really do have faces for radio. Like, I watched about 10 minutes of the video from last week, and it literally makes me cringe.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, could I look any more crippled?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like this show, if somebody stumbled onto it from that didn't know, I feel like they would think this was a Big Brothers Big Sister project, and you were really doing me a favor. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what it looks like. Because I just look at it, it's like, I mean, for crying out loud, all I need to start drooling, and that would finish the picture. No, it's no wonder nobody ever takes this show seriously, because it really does look like you're really doing me a favor here.
I mean, wait a little bit, you'll see Jamie start drooling. It may happen.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Be prepared. Happens with me, too. You get that little stuff stuck in the beard, and you're like, oh, man.
Yeah.
So, that's another nice thing about having a camera on, right? You get to check those things every once in a while. So if you would like to see that and some bonus content over there at Patreon, gamingUncensored.com, become a patron. So that said, so you mentioned a little bit of what you're playing. I'll mention just really quickly, the only thing that I've really put much time into, but then we got to talk about Ghost of Tsushima because we haven't talked about that on the show yet.
Yes.
The only thing I've really put time into this week was Lake, because it's out.
Oh, crap. I didn't know. I got to go buy that right? Now.
Yep. It's officially out. And so I have played through up until this point where the demo ends. And so I've not experienced any new content, and they didn't update really much. There's a few teeny tiny tweaks that I've noticed, but so far it's basically the same. The first 3 days that I played out, basically the same, because I liked how I played it out the first time. I didn't really want to change anything. And so I'm just now getting into new content on that I haven't seen yet. And so I'm excited about that, but don't have really anything new to say about it, because we played the demo and the demo was cool and we were pumped about the game, and now it's here.
Yeah, I'm very excited. I feel like a loser because we're talking about a game that's about delivering the mail. and that's almost as bad as Lawnmower Simulator.
I mean, pretty close. Yeah.
I mean, seriously, it's almost as bad. So
Genevieve was pumped about it, though, because we talked about it whenever I played through the demo, that she fell in love with that game for whatever reason. Like, you know, like she played Spider-Man with me, and I thought, you know, that she would want to play Spider-Man just all the time, and she got into it and she enjoyed it or whatever. But the mail delivery game is just, it's the thing that has captivated her the most of any game that I have put her in front of. As a 3.5-year-old, she like wakes up in the morning and is like, I want to play the game where you deliver mail. Like, she's just super into it. And so I would have gotten farther into it, except for any time that she's like around that I try to play it, she's immediately like sitting on my lap and saying, let's drive around and deliver mail.
Yeah.
And so you don't get as much done that way, because a 3-year-old doesn't really understand the concept of like point A to point B. So it's a lot of running mail trucks into trees and curbs and that kind of stuff. But it's very entertaining.
Yeah. I can't wait to play it. And it's stupid to sit here and talking about buying a new game when we have so many games that we need to play. But I will. I'm like, after the show, I'm going to run out and spend the money to purchase this, because it's something that I'm genuinely excited about.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I was looking through Game Pass just last night to see if there was anything new that I needed to know about, and it made me think to ask you about the new Civ Simulator you've been playing. It's Humankind, correct?
Right. Yep.
I have not downloaded it yet. I'm curious as to what you think, because I looked at the reviews, and they're not stellar. Like, they're not, like, it's not like the greatest thing ever.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, it's not Civ even. Like, and Civ is a, you know, a specific type of game. Either you're into Civ or you're not into Civ. And then within that, I guess, there is a spectrum of like the casual Civ player, which is very much where I am, and like the crazy, like super into it, like micromanaging every little component of it Civ player, which I am not. What I like about Humankind so far, and I haven't put much more time into it, but what I like about it so far is it feels like it does play well for that casual Civ player, even though it does have quite a bit of depth to it. I don't know that it's going to get as deep as Civ does. Personally, that's fine with me. I'm looking for something that's a little bit more of a casual experience. It scratches that itch. If that's a game you like, a game style you like, it's not as good as Civilization, but it's fine. It's a good game. But because we've got other stuff going on, I haven't gotten back to it because I want to play Lake and I want to play Ghost of Tsushima more than I want to play Humankind at this point. And so it's...
The other one that I want to ask you about that I know that you've seen, and it was free on Epic a couple weeks ago, and I just realized it's on Game Pass. Have you played or seen or done anything with A Plague Tale?
I haven't, and I'm really interested in it. It also
me too.
It was free on PlayStation Plus a few months back as well, and so I'm almost certain I've picked up the PlayStation Plus titles every month. Obviously, I try to at least, and so I think I have that as a PlayStation game too. It's apparently good. Like, a lot of people are real into it.
See,
it's just
The reason I wanted to ask you about it is that I have not seen enough of it to really understand what it is gameplay wise.
Yeah, me
like
neither.
I understand what the story is. I understand kind of what we're trying to get to, but I have not seen enough of it to even know what style of game it is. And I'm really curious.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. Like everything that we've ever seen of it, like shown off at E3 or something similar to that, any kind of game convention, has just been like narrative driven and not really leaned into the gameplay. And so I'm assuming that the gameplay isn't like anything that's going to blow your socks off, but it's...
I'm going to request that you do something now that's going to get us in major trouble, but uh-huh. you have a serious internet connection, so I would suggest that you download it during the show and just fire it up and see if we can figure out what the deal is with that.
Yeah, because, if I were sitting in front of my PC, I would. But all I got right now is my Mac. Everything else is in the other room otherwise. Nah. But I'm sitting here watching the trailer right now off of Steam, and so... Trying to figure out kind of how it plays. Everything here is still very, very cinematic for the most part.
Yeah.
But it looks cool. Like, it really looks intriguing.
The reviews are great.
Yeah, everybody really likes it. So, yeah, I don't know. Ah, now I'm getting audio. I don't know if you were getting that audio too, probably.
No, I did not.
Okay, good.
So, yeah, all of that to say, we have a ton of games to play and not enough time.
Absolutely. Let me ask you then, because you've seen some of Ghost of Tsushima now, what your thoughts are there, and then I'll kind of give you some of mine as well.
Okay, so a couple of things. It's a very interesting concept. It's the thing that's interesting to me about it is it's the first game that I have seen that was upscaled for the PlayStation 5 that looks like it was upscaled for the PlayStation 5. Like, there are some things, especially when you're on the horse and you're moving fast and the grass is going by, that it just doesn't look great. Like, I don't know how to explain it. It's not... It's beautiful, like that. There are sections of it where, like, you're running around and you see the skybox or whatever, and it's like stunning. But then you get on the horse and you're really moving, and you can really see, yeah, this is an upscale.
Yeah.
As far as saying that kind of scares me because I'm watching it on YouTube in 1080p. So if I can see it,
yeah,
it's gotta be pretty severe.
Yeah, let me talk about that really quickly and then we'll get into more gameplay stuff because I think that's a really good point. I'm glad you brought it up. Ghost of Tsushima, just first of all, the original release was a little bit of a letdown on PlayStation 4 from what we saw at E3 the last time Sony was at E3. Remember, they had the event where they just showcased those four games, and Ghost of Tsushima is one of those four games. And it was very obviously at that point looking like a next generation title, a PlayStation 5 game, and then it ended up coming out on the PlayStation 4. And what they showed us at E3 just isn't what was delivered in the final game. And that's typical, right? That happens all the time. Yeah. There's nothing novel to that. But the thing is what they showed us at E3 was just stunning and just did some things, especially talking about the grass, you know, that was one of the big things. The wind is such a big part of the game, and it, you know, is like your guiding thing to get to objectives in the game, which is cool because you kind of follow the way the wind is blowing through the grass and the trees and that kind of stuff, the leaves around you. And so, like, that actually is not just a pretty game element. It's a pretty critical gameplay element to have this kind of breezy thing. And it just isn't what it was, what we saw at E3, what was that now, 4 years ago, right? Like, it's just, even on the PlayStation 5, it's just not executed to that level, which is a little bit of a bummer. It's a beautiful game. Like, don't get us wrong. It is. It's stunning. But there are little things like that. The other one that just really drives me nuts is just the character models just don't match the environment. You know, like, the environment graphical fidelity is just an obvious step higher than the character models are. And I don't know what that is. I don't know if it's a motion capture thing. It just, to my eye, just doesn't look right. Like, there's something not quite Uncanny Valley, but pretty close to Uncanny Valley about it that just kind of unsettles me.
And the first thing that I saw that was like, ooh, is, and granted, this was the beginning of the game, you didn't know what you were doing yet, but it just looks clunky. Like, I know it's not, because I saw you get better as you went, and as you start to figure things out, it gets smoother, but it's not smooth like I would expect it to be. And part of this is, and this is a problem that we're going to continue to see with these upscales and all these different things coming. And I think about Skyrim being re-released again. like all of these things, as fabulous as they are competing against Ratchet and Clank and Miles Morales. That those are the two. Those two are the bar, and they're not flawless, but they are steps above everything else. Like,
for
Miles
sure
is not flawless. Ratchet and Clank is not flawless. We found some bugs. We had some scratches, but we had some crashes. But they are miles above these upscales.
Yeah, Ghost of Tsushima looks like a PlayStation 4 game, which isn't a bad thing. Games are beautiful on the PlayStation 4, but especially Ratchet and Clank, because Miles Morales is an upscaled game too, but they really, really focus on the PlayStation 5 version of that, and it shows. Ratchet and Clank is just in a different level, you know, like, just there's nothing else out there that's that kind of visual fidelity, which is a shame. Getting close to a year into this generation, right? Like, we're 9 months or 10 months into this generation, and we have one really notable game that feels like it's taking advantage of the hardware on either Sony or Microsoft, right? There's nothing on the Microsoft side that feels like it's taking advantage
of the
hardware.
No, there's not. And the other scary thing is that we're a year in. I still can't find an Xbox.
Right.
Like, yeah. I still need to buy an Xbox. And Lindsay, the last lady that was here, has an 8-year-old, and I didn't say anything to her because I'm thinking too far ahead, but I'm like, I need a brand new Xbox to put that kid in front of so he likes being here.
Right.
That's something that I was thinking about today, but you can't find an Xbox. They just, they're not there. And the PlayStation 5 is better, but not much.
Yeah, it's still super difficult to find the other one. And just, it's put us in this really weird place with this generation of consoles. That said, going back to your point about the kind of control in Ghost of Tsushima, it feels better than I think it looks. It did, like, the first little opening sequence where you're just trying to figure out where buttons are and that kind of stuff. Like, that's always a clunky part of a game. But once I actually kind of started getting into it, like, it feels better. This is my weird issue, though, and I kind of want to get your thought on this, because I'm trying to figure out how I want to play this game, because, like, just in the very kind of beginning section, Jin is very opposed to, like, stealthiness, right? He's like, the samurai code is you let your enemy know you're there and you face them, you know, kind of mano-y-mano kind of thing, right? And like, right. the thief chick is like, no, like, go sneak up behind him and stab him to death, and you know, life's going to be easier, which is true, and that's how I want to play a game. But I feel like the game is like judging me if I'm like going all stealth. And so I've been trying to play it a little bit where like I sneak around, but I don't kill people when I'm sneaking around. And it's darn difficult to do that.
Because you started this thing a couple years ago where you just sort of, when you play a game, you just sort of like go with the flow kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, I understand what you're saying, because it's very clear. They make it very like blatantly obvious, almost yelling at you like, you gotta be a samurai and you gotta do this and you gotta do it this way or you'll be dishonored or whatever. But I'm going to tell you something. If we've been talking about games like Horizon coming to the PC. If Ghosts was to come to the PC, I know I can't play it that way. Yeah. I will have to sneak up behind people. Otherwise, I'm going to get smoked.
Yeah.
That's just all there is to it. And I personally like that play style better. But if you want to play it as a samurai, I get it. The problem is that because of the way the game is set up, it's kind of counterintuitive to play it that way. And I think the developer made a mistake, because I think they were trying to be like, look, we can give you an option, but let's be honest, playing it stealthy, it really plays better if you play it stealthy. I feel like.
Yeah, and I would think so too. Like, the game's kind of built to do that, but at the same time admonishes you for doing that. It's just
the name of the game is Ghost of Tsushima.
Exactly,
like,
yeah.
Like, it's the game is very clearly designed for you to be a Metal Gear type stealth kind of thing.
Right.
And it's the scariest. What blows my mind about it is when I see you sneaking around like that, the first thing I think of is Metal Gear. Like, even now, the first thing I think of is Metal Gear. And it really is. It's built to play that way, but they're like screaming at you, going, you're going to get dishonored if you do it this way. And I don't understand.
Yeah. Me neither. And I was curious, little spoiler-ish here, not much at all. But just, I was like, let me Google, like, what is the penalty in the game if, like, you choose the stealth approach versus just to, like, walk in and you know, beat people down or whatever. And apparently it doesn't matter. Apparently the game, if you choose to play stealthy or if you choose to go in katana blazing, I don't know, swords blazing, like, either way, like, the game is going to guilt you as to being dishonorable in the way that you kill people. And so hearing that, like, I'm just gonna go and go stealthy now, because it doesn't matter. Like, if the game's gonna guilt me either way, I'm gonna play it the way that I have more fun with.
So here's the problem that I have with that. Okay, you and I have spent most of our lives in church. You currently work for a church as a second job.
Is this true?
And there's just some weeks that it doesn't matter what happens, you're going to walk out of a church service not feeling real good. And I don't know that I want to play all the way through a game where I have to feel bad about the way that I'm playing it the whole way through. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just, like, I feel like the fact that they're constantly yelling at you, telling you that you're doing it wrong, is going to grind on you.
Yeah. There's definitely something to that. I'm curious as we get deeper into it, how they approach it, because it's obviously a part of Jin's story that they want you to wrestle with. Like, that's a very intentional game design thing, is they want you to wrestle with this kind of, idea of what is an honorable samurai and what is doing what you must in the situation that if you were to follow the code to the letter of the law, essentially, you would fail, right? And like that's established really early too. Like it's ultimately like, yeah, if you do everything by the book, like you're just going to die, or like you have to make these compromises. And so as a narrative thing, I appreciate that. I'm really interested to see how they tell that story with Jin. But as a just like how they encourage you to play the game thing, yeah, it's going to be really annoying if they make me feel bad about it the whole way through, more than just like, this is the character arc development, you know, but in a, hey, you, guy with controller in your hand, not, hey, Jin, guy that's represented on the screen, right. Like, you are doing this wrong. And that's a, like, I don't know how you thread that needle, per se. You know, right? Like, I'm curious to see if they can bring me around on it. Right now, that's the only, like, real narrative thing that feels weird to me. The rest of the storytelling's really great, and the game's going to be a blast. It is really
good. I have a couple of things I have to ask you about. Because there are a couple of things that I don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I don't understand how the quest system works. Because I saw you kind of looking around on the map trying to figure out where to go next. And I couldn't figure out why the quest system is set up in the way that it is. Because it almost looks like that the quest is in another part of one of the quests is in another part of the map, but you don't have fast travel. Like, it's not clear, like, are these quests connected or how do we go about it? So I don't understand that at all.
Yeah.
And you were playing around with the gear a little bit, and you already have some gear that I'm like, wait a minute, where did he get that?
Yep.
Like,
yeah.
we just literally got his gear out of lockup from some people burning down a village. Like, where did you get this fancy headdress crap? Like, I don't really understand.
Yeah. So let me address both of those. So the quest thing first. It is, I like how the game, like, you play through the intro section of the game, and then it just kind of opens you up into the world, and there's obviously, like, the main quest line. You know what your kind of primary objective is and what you should be doing there. But there's also, you know, like, here's a quest line, like a side quest line, but it tells you, like, the reward for doing this is getting a bow and learning archery. And I'm like,
see, I didn't see that.
That's what I want. You know, like, okay, I'm definitely interested in that. And so that's the quest line that I'm like, okay, I'm going to pursue that first because I definitely want a bow. You know, like, that seems like it's going to make this game more fun. So let me get that as quickly as I can, you know. And so I'm curious to how that evolves as we get deeper in the game. But it is a little, the interface isn't super intuitive. And again, I think intentionally so. That they kind of just want to encourage you to explore. There's like no mini map on the HUD, right? Like it really is like you could open up the map and see where you're at and where you're going, but they really want you to rely on this wind thing that you can press the touchpad and it'll, you know, a gust of wind will show you which direction you're supposed to go. Right. And so it kind of forces you to interact with the world environment more than just relying on a map on your HUD, which I really like. And in that way, it kind of reminds me of Breath of the Wild. I know there's been several comparisons in some of the gameplay stuff. But one of my favorite things about Breath of the Wild is that it just leans so heavily on the world to navigate. Like, it just rewards your curiosity. You climb up to the top of these things. You look around. You say, I want to go over there. You get there and there's something cool, right? Like, it just very much is just this brilliantly designed world. I think Ghost of Tsushima has a lot of that to it as well, that it's just going to say, hey, come over here and look at this thing, you know? Or if you're working on a quest, like, let me get you there, but you're following the wind. And so you kind of by definition with that are going to meander and explore parts of the world that you might not have otherwise seen.
That's a great word. Love that word, meander. I love it.
It's a good word. The other thing with the gear, because yeah, I was just like scrolling through inventory and then I'm like, oh yeah, here's like his ratty gear that he has. And then like the only other thing I have in the inventory is like what appears to be like top of the line stuff. And I'm assuming, I haven't gone back and checked this, but this was just my assumption once I saw that, is that because this is the director's cut, right? The with the DLC and everything else, that this is just part of that package that, you know, you get some of the DLC, right. Armor or whatever. And I immediately looked at it, figured out that it was probably pretty overpowered and took it off and said, I'm not really interested in playing with that right now. You know, like I want to experience this game without, you know, the armor that already has significant bonuses at the beginning when your armor doesn't have really any significant bonuses, right. You know? And so I'm assuming that's what that is. I haven't dug into it anymore. I just switched back to his beat up armor and I'm going to work with that at least for the time being. And then if I start getting beat down, I might go, oh, I have this other thing, you know, over here. So,
right.
But I'm really digging it. And again, if not for the fact that Lake just came out and I want to play that too, I would have some more time in Ghost of Tsushima. So hopefully next time we do a show in a week, hopefully we'll be able to talk a little bit more about it. That said, the reason that we're doing a show right now is because of Feels. And so thank you, Feels, for making us do a show. Gaming Uncensored is officially brought to you by Feels.com. They are a CBD provider. CBD is great. We both are enjoying this product thoroughly and excited to have them on board.
Let me ask you, I gotta ask, because you are into week two on Feels. I'm going to do the cheesiest thing I've ever done and say, bro, how do you feel?
we really like this product a lot. This morning, had a kind of a rough night last night. Had to get up with Genevieve in the middle of the night, whatever. And then had like some meetings this morning. And so I've been taking it, you know, at night to help me sleep. And it's been great for that. But that's the only time I had taken it. And so this morning, knowing that I just needed to be up and going and be focused, I decided to try some this morning with my morning cup of coffee, not mixing it together, though that's something you can do. You can find tons of recipes yep. to do that kind of stuff too. But I just, you know, did the under the tongue thing. And it was great. Like it just is, it's that little pick me up, you know, along with my morning coffee that tends to make me jittery if I have too much of it. And so I kind of have yep. to ration that. Like Feels kind of, the CBD kind of counteracts that, kind of counterbalances the sure jitteriness does. of the coffee. And it was just a great balance. Like I had the nice caffeine boost from the coffee and I had the nice focused, you know, not jittery boost from the CBD. And it was kind of like feeling superhuman. So I had to drop off Genevieve at school this morning. Then I went for a run after that. And then I had like back-to-back-to-back meetings and picking her up and then had another meeting. And then it was just a really, really busy morning. And I just felt great for all of it. And that's a pretty rare thing. So just feel so really tired all the time. And it was nice to feel really great.
I'm going to say something. And that's, this is something that nobody's going to believe, but you've been with me a long time and you've seen me in about every circumstance that you can see me. And I talked about last week that there's some pain and stuff that I don't talk about. But I'm going to tell you, folks, and this is not just because they're an advertiser on the show. When I take Feels on a daily basis, whether it's morning or afternoon or whatever it is, if I have some every day, I feel like I felt when I was 25 and we were a lot younger and doing the stuff that we did. I think about the way that we ate and the things that we did on a daily basis. And I'm like, how do we do that? But if I will take this every day, that's where I'm at. I feel like a guy that's not 30 yet, which is where I'm at mentally, and I think you are too. I mean, we're yeah. both very busy people, and it's nice to have that back.
Yeah, and it's just this great little boost. It's not like anything that's like blowing my mind. It just makes me feel better. And that's kind of the thing, right? Like it's one of the things that they talk about is it's more about what you don't feel than what you do feel, you know, like that it takes right. away some of that anxiety and stress and pain and those kinds of things. And that really is the thing. Like, it's not that it's like making me feel like way like superhuman or anything, like I have superpowers. It just makes me feel better about life, you know, like just like relaxes my body, relaxes my mind a little bit, which is great. So all that said, Feels is a premium CBD product. It's really great. If you've been interested in trying CBD oil, or if you are using it currently and would like to try a different product, we would obviously highly recommend Feels. I use it as just a tincture, just right under the tongue, just however much you dose you you want. And like we talked about before, the customer service is great. They have a hotline that will help you figure out dosing. They are more than happy to talk to you about it. They're excited about the product too, which is great. And so they'll help you out with that. It doesn't taste terrible, which is such a big bonus.
While we're on the taste thing, I gotta tell you, I got an email this week. I don't know if you got it. I know I got it because I told them to put me on a list. But on the taste thing, if you're not into the under the tongue stuff, they have mints that are coming. They've got these 20 milligram mints that are coming. I've already ordered some.
Yep.
They're coming to my house. And it's just a mint. You pop it in, you suck on it, your breath smells good, and off you go.
You feel like, better. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm pumped about those mints.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that's going to be great. So,
and that's coming up. I should have that like next week or something. Yeah. They said, so
that's awesome.
I'm excited about that
for sure. So, all that said, you want to start feeling better, feel better with Feels. Become a member today. Go by feels.com/GU podcast. That is our promo code. That will get you 50% off of your first order, plus free shipping. Another big bonus about Feels, it comes right to your door. You don't have to go somewhere and pick it up. I know the sexy sidekick. We've been like out of town and she ran out of CBD oil, and it's like going into like sketchy vape stores to try to buy CBD oil. And she's not into that. Like, this comes right to your door. You don't have to worry about it, which is great.
We got to talk about the membership real quick, and we're way over what they're paying us for. but I did not mention the membership real quick. If you get a membership, you get, of course, you get 50% off your first order from us with the promo code GU Podcast. But also, if you become a member, you get 30% off every other order past that.
Yeah.
Which is fabulous. And the great thing about the membership, which we should have mentioned last week, is that you don't have to order every month. You just get it when you need it. It has this nice little button, like I sign in, and it shows me when my next shipment is coming. And if I don't want it, I just skip it. And if I wake up tomorrow and realize, hey, I really need that, there's a nice little ship now button, that, and they'll just ship it. It's fabulous.
Yeah.
And so if you are debating becoming a member, that 30% off is every single order after the first order from us with the promo code of GU Podcast. And so I would highly recommend becoming a member if you have not done that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. So feels.com, feals.com/GU podcast. 50% off, free shipping. Start feeling better today. Awesome.
We're getting good at that.
Right.
Well, we almost sound professional.
So all that said, let's talk about the news. The China story that I mentioned at the very beginning, I actually heard about on NPR, not on any gaming broadcast.
Wow.
Right? Just driving around in the car and listening to NPR. Here's a video game story. But this is nuts. And not necessarily surprising, but still nuts, just the way that they're doing this. So China has heavily restricted video game access for minors, anybody under the age of 18, to being able to play 1 hour per day on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You get 3 hours a week that you can play video games, and they're set hours. It's between 8 and 9 p.m. on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday are the only times that people under 18 in China are now allowed to play video games. They actually use like facial recognition to implement this. And so you have to have like your face scan to start your hour of gameplay or whatever. And it's just wild, just crazy.
You can watch a lot of news and you can see a lot of stuff and you can be like, I don't know about that. but I don't think I'm telling something that I shouldn't tell, but you have a brother-in-law who spent a lot of time in China, and has married somebody from China, and that's where he lives. And I haven't asked you in a while if he made it home.
Nope, not yet.
But look, you can watch whatever news outlet that you want and hear people talk about China. I'm telling you that we know somebody that lives there, and you've been there. You really enjoyed your trip, but it's a whole different world. And those people in the CCP are not joking.
Yeah,
like this is not some. Oh, that can't be real. Yeah, it is. And it's really scary.
Yeah,
really scary.
Yeah, for sure. The just sheer level of kind of the surveillance state of China is mind-boggling. And this is a very, very small example of how the much, much bigger kind of surveillance world. There's just cameras everywhere, and they just track every single person all the time. There is no, you know, we take advantage or take for granted our sense of kind of right to privacy, even though, you know, we have these devices that are tracking us pretty yes. constantly. And so say what you will about that or whatever. But it is on a different scale for sure.
You can turn those off and put them in a drawer.
Exactly. And it's Apple that's primarily tracking me here more than our government is, though our government wants to do that more from time to
yes,
time.
Yes, they do.
It's a completely different scale. Like our government wants to do some of that stuff, but also gets barred from doing some of that stuff because we have some checks and balances in our system and we have voters and things that can happen. Sometimes it works better than other times, but still there's a system that can support that. And that just doesn't exist in China. There's just no way, like if you disagree with this, that there's any way to uproot it. There's nothing that the citizenry of China can do to say, hey, no, this is a step too far and we don't approve it. Now, of course, the video game thing shouldn't be the step too far, but it is a symptom of the bigger issue that's there that's not going anywhere.
Can we be totally clear? Because you told me when you got home, I remember you taking that trip. You told me when you got home, the people in China are great.
Absolutely.
We are talking specifically about the CCP. We're not talking about the people in general in China. Those people treated you and your wife and your family like rock stars.
Yeah.
I think if I remember what you told me correctly, so.
Yeah, 100%. And that's such an important point. I'm glad you said that. That is always anytime, like about any foreign country issue, but just in general. So important to separate the ruling powers, the authorities from the citizenry as a whole. And people in China love China too. And like it's such a challenging thing for me kind of dealing with that sometimes because I'm like, you should be pissed about all this stuff. But there's, you know, you love where you come from too. And so there's things that they may disagree with, but at the same time, they love their country and want to support their country, just like many of us love our country and want to support our country too, even in times where there's things that are disagreeable with it. It's complex and to try to write off any one thing like this is like, oh, you know, China, it just overall is terrible or whatever. Like it's definitely much, much more complex than that. That said, yes. This specific part of Chinese policy, I think is pretty terrible. Like it just, again, is a much broader thing than video games, but video games are the thing that we're connecting to here. I can't imagine a world where like you have 1 hour, three nights a week that your kid can log in and play a video game. Like just, and that there's a system to track that and make sure that you're abiding by that. And if there's anything else I know about the ruling authorities in China, you don't want to get on their bad side either.
No, so you do not.
You're going to follow those guidelines as much as you can, I would imagine.
These people will break down your door and you will disappear. Yeah. This is not something, and I say it a lot, and I know that some of you may get a little frustrated, but we live in the best country in the world, period. And there's some debate whether, you know, you'd rather live in Eastern Europe or somewhere else, but for the most part, we live in the best country in the world. And I want everybody listening, and I say this to remind myself, what we have, we cannot take for granted, because it's not something that exists everywhere, and we need to take it seriously.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. Protect your freedoms, take care of our country, take care of our democracy. those are blessings that we have that aren't guaranteed, for sure. It could easily turn into something else if we are not diligent about that. I like that. So that said, let's talk a little bit about Sony making some bad decisions and then turning around and hopefully at least fixing it somewhat. So this all started with an announcement about Horizon Forbidden West, which we know is coming theoretically in February. We'll see if it makes it, but I'm feeling pretty good that that's probably a close release date at this point. Doesn't matter for this story. What this story is that Sony announced how the PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5 versions of Forbidden West would work. And when they originally made the announcement, there's like a standard version on the PlayStation 4 that you can buy, and then there's like a digital deluxe or whatever they call it version that you can buy. And if you bought the standard version of the game on PlayStation 4, there wasn't an upgrade option to PlayStation 5. And so if you don't have a PlayStation 5 yet, you wanted to buy it, right? You wanted to buy the game, and then when you get a PlayStation 5 to upgrade it, you had to pay the more expensive version of the game to have an upgradable copy. And then I think there was an added cost on that even to get it upgraded to the PlayStation 5 version, which made Twitter and the gaming world pretty pissed, understandably so, at Sony. Like, a really terrible idea. Like, just bad. So, to Sony's credit, and then we can talk about what we think of this new system, Sony backtracked. That's the easiest way to say it. So they put out a statement that said, last year we made a commitment to deliver free upgrades for our cross-gen launch titles, which at the time included Horizon Forbidden West, because it was supposed to come out earlier, it's already been delayed, and so technically it's now not a, quote, launch title. So they thought that they didn't have to abide by that promise, but they're saying now, we will stand by our offer. Players who purchase Horizon Forbidden West on the PlayStation 4 will be able to upgrade to the PlayStation 5 version for free, which brings up an interesting question that I'll ask in just a second. But also, they also put into place that they will, moving forward, all first-party exclusive cross-gen titles, so releasing on both PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5, will have a $10 upgrade option from the PS4 to PS5, which makes sense because a PlayStation 4 game costs $60, a PlayStation 5 game costs $70. So you pay $10 to upgrade when you want to upgrade. It kind of bridges the gap between what those are. Specifically saying that applies to God of War, Ragnarok, and to Gran Turismo 7 and any other first-party PlayStation titles as they come out, which is great. And it seems to make sense. The $10 thing, we can talk about a little bit, but they've gotten on the right track.
I do want to talk about it. I don't know where we're at, and I don't know how close we are to a little girl, but this is... My issue here is, you're right, $10 is reasonable. We knew that games were going to cost $70. Fine, whatever. But my question is, how much of that $10 do the developers of these games get
sure.
for the work that they're putting in? Like this is what I want to know, because the reason I bring this up, and we had this problem with Sony a few years ago with the PlayStation 3, with Microsoft's done it, everybody in the industry's done it. Every couple of years, somebody does something that's totally boneheaded because, yeah, we need to make 10 or 15 more bucks. And they'll pay it because they're gamers, and then like we can charge them whatever, and they'll pay because we give them this content. They can't go anywhere else. And that's, I'm not saying anybody's ever said that, but that's sort of the attitude that has happened repeatedly with whatever company that you want to talk about.
Yeah.
And so here we are again, and I'm just, and to me it's different now because we have COVID and we have all this stuff, and there's people that are literally striving to keep getting a paycheck. There's a lot of jobs out there, but I can see in the gaming industry that with some of the stuff that's happening, there's some people that could lose some of those high paying jobs that they've got. And so to me, this is a little more serious because of that. You know, I mean, you look at it and you go, well, it's $10, and I'm like, it's not that big a deal. But I guess the only question that I'm really asking is, how much does a developer benefit from that upgrade? Because they did the work.
Right. Yeah, like,
those teams did the work.
Yeah. And to be clear, again, this is all first-party titles at this point. And so there's already a kind of convoluted relationship between developer, publisher, Sony as a whole, you know, and so it's I imagine hard to trace any of that down the rabbit hole when you're getting into how those funds are actually distributed. But it is an interesting question. But mine is specifically for Horizon, assuming that if you buy the PlayStation 4 version of the game, that if you upgrade to the PlayStation 5 version, that it's the exact same game. Why would you not just buy the PlayStation 4 version that's $60 instead of the PlayStation 5 version that's $70 and do a free upgrade, right? Like, I haven't seen, there may be an answer to that somewhere out there that somebody has asked or explained that, which then just begs the question, why have a $70 version of this game at all? Why not just release it $60 across the board?
Yep.
If, like, I can game the system and have to, like, install a PlayStation 4 version of the game and then download the upgrade and then install that. Like, okay, it's going to be a little bit more of a hassle. Is it $10 worth of a hassle? Sure. You know, whatever. Save me $10. I'll do that.
I think it goes back to what I just said. I think there are some people that come up with these ideas and think, there's gamers, 80% of them are going to pay that and they're not even going to think about it.
Yeah.
You and I think about that stuff. We just do. And I would be curious how many people in our audience think about that stuff.
Yeah.
Because you're right. You and I, both of us, will game the system whenever we can.
Yeah.
And if it's a quote-unquote free upgrade, then why is that other version even there?
Yeah, so... I'm guessing that you probably won't be able to buy the PlayStation 4 version on the PlayStation Store on the PlayStation 5. But what's stopping me from just plugging in my PlayStation 4 and buying it there, which is, you know, kind of work around with it. I don't know. We'll see what happens with it. It is obviously them trying to fix a problem of their own making, which has created more problems for them. But problems that are now affecting them negatively as opposed to the consumer negatively, which is what was originally happening. Again, especially at a time when you still can't hardly find the consoles, when we have all kinds of issues with supply chain and chips and all that. Like, it's just a really, really bad look to say, oh, yeah, we're putting this game out that we promised we would upgrade for free, but then we had to postpone it, and so now we won't upgrade it for free, and we know you still can't get the console, but we don't care. You know, like, it was just a really bad, really bad look.
That's a very, very good point. I really, I really like that point because it's like, guys, people can't get your stuff, but they're sold out everywhere and they love it. Like,
yeah.
And so they're not looking to like change this.
Yeah.
And because Sony's so far ahead of everybody right now that it's not even comparable.
Yeah.
And so you're right. It's a really bad look and they really don't care. And they're going to have to bring Kevin Butler back. that was literally me stalling for 20 seconds trying to remember that guy's name.
That was good.
Because
it was solid.
That's really what saved them when they pulled this mess with the PlayStation 3 with Kevin Butler. That guy
is a great PR stat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what they feels like they kind of needed again. Like, yeah, they went on Twitter and all social media and apologized. And we're going to do the right thing. But I still kind of feel like it still feels a little gross.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
Like, yep. It's not a good feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. One other PlayStation bit here I mentioned we won't get to talk about as much as I was hoping because I do want to talk about the Marvel game some. But there is a PlayStation showcase happening on Thursday, day after tomorrow, that will undoubtedly give us stuff to talk about, which is exciting. I would imagine we'll see Horizon. That's a big thing. I'm really curious to see if God of War shows up or Final Fantasy 16 shows up. I think those are kind of the big ones otherwise to wait and see. They did announce the one thing that won't be there is next-gen PlayStation VR, which makes sense. I imagine they'll do a dedicated show for that at some point. This isn't that. So,
You know, when that happens, can I say whenever that happens, whatever it costs, we really need to buy into that.
We're going
to
be there. Yeah.
Yeah.
All over that with the power of that rig and VR. It'd be super fun. Go by the show notes, gaminguncensored.com, to see the Metroid Dread trailer, the new one. If you haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
It's
ridiculous.
It's so good. And it's such fan service, which I really love because I love Metroid. Again, I've got Samus on my t-shirt right here. But like just showing stuff that's familiar, like the screw attack, which was great, just made me excited. It's stuff that you're expecting to see anyway, but just to see it in new sexy Metroid glory was great. And then having Kraid show up, which is one of my all-time favorite bosses in the Metroid series. Was not expecting that, so I super geeked out over that. Metroid boss fights are just notoriously amazing.
I feel like a whole lot of the time we have the same mind, because if we'd have been sitting in the same room when I watched that like an hour ago, both of us would have literally gone, woo! I mean, that's what it felt like. It's fantastic, and I can't wait to, like, that's one of those games, like, we talk about it all the time, that we like to play games together. We really do. That's not one that I want to see on YouTube. Like, that one, you have to be in my space on the biggest screen we can find.
Yeah.
And we have to play that.
Yeah. For sure. Really quick, Stardew Valley news. I'll mention this and we'll get back to Midnight Suns. Stardew Valley just blew my mind. Has sold over 15 million copies at this point for this random little indie like farm community sim. 15 million copies of Stardew Valley. Good on them. Like, that blows my mind.
I had a thought when I saw that, and I'm curious because you got the Google in front of you over there.
Yep.
Do you know how many people are on that development team?
It's one guy mainly. I'm sure he's had help along the way, but he goes by Concerned Ape is his, you know, kind of online name. I think Eric is his actual name, Eric something. But anyway, Concerned Ape is how I always think about him. But it's really that dude. Like, I think it's 90% him, if not all him. Like, it's this
one guy.
That's
a lot of money. That dude,
you would hope.
That's a lot of money.
They had a, you know, he had a publishing deal with a Chucklefish for a while. I don't know if Chucklefish is still involved or whatever. He went independent at one point, was started. Lots of weird kind of behind the scenes stuff going on there. But yeah, hopefully that guy's okay. He also said that he doesn't know if there'll be any more big updates for Stardew Valley at this point because he's working on a new game. And so that's where all of his effort is right now and not on Stardew Valley updates other than, you know, little bug fixes and that kind of stuff. So good on him. One more thing we'll make sure we get in here because we teased it. I'm just curious about your thoughts about it. We already kind of gave away some of it, but we got a gameplay trailer for Marvel's Midnight Suns. Of course, we talked about it on the last show. We got the Gamescom kind of announced trailer for it. But now seeing kind of how it plays, it's always been like Marvel XCOM, and now it's kind of XCOM, but it's also card-based. That in the gameplay trailer, again, gamingcensored.com, go to the show notes if you want to see that trailer. The gameplay shows that you trigger your abilities based off of cards. And I've got all kinds of questions of how that works, but also really kind of dig the system of like XCOM meets trading card game, you know, like with Marvel characters. Like it feels like if it's executed well, and we'll have to wait and see if it's executed well, but if it's executed well, like it could just be kind of this amazing amalgamation of a lot of stuff that I really enjoy.
So I'm kind of afraid because I think it's going to be this thing that like 10,000 geeks like us really likes. And then everybody else looks at it and goes, what is that? I don't know. And so I'm a little worried about that, but like the story aspects of the trailer and kind of the conversations they were having, when you throw that in with the way they're looking to do the abilities, this looks like a really nice package.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how the game is going to be, really, but it looks like a really nice Marvel package that we haven't seen in a while. I know that, I can't remember. Have you seen Loki yet? See, I just did it again. I had an old man moment.
We just started it, actually. We're like two episodes in.
All right, so the reason I bring that up is I haven't yet, and I've been waiting to start that. I'm kind of jonesing for that next big Marvel thing, and I think Loki is it, but I don't know. If they pull this off correctly, it could be a really big Marvel game. Because, let's face it, you and I are bummed out kind of about the Avengers service thing, whatever that was.
Right.
Like, I'm looking for a really good Marvel game.
Yeah. We've got on the horizon. We've got this, and to me, this is the one that's got me most excited because it's a gameplay style that you and I really enjoy. And so I think in because of that, I think you're right. There's going to be like 10,000 of us that are like, this is super cool. And then everybody else is going to be like, what was that thing that they put out? But the other one is the Guardians of the Galaxy game that we saw at E3. That's going to be, it feels more like that big, you know, AAA Marvel type experience. MCU-ish, even though it's not MCU, obviously, but that kind of high-level Marvel experience. I'm hoping that the Guardians of the Galaxy game is good and it looks good. I'm hoping that this game is good and it looks good. They are very different things and very different audiences, but we are kind of the cross-section where it hits both of us, you know? And so I'm hopeful for both of them. But if I had to pick one I'm more excited about, it's Midnight Suns all day long. Like, I think this looks super cool. I'm really, really pumped about it.
I really hope it's good because it's one of those that we will play all the way through if it's good.
Yep, 100%.
I'm very excited. I'm interested to hear what you have to say about Loki. Now that I know you're two episodes in, I may have to start that tonight. I started something last night that I do not understand at all, which is the new Steve Martin and Martin Short.
Yeah.
So it's on Hulu.
I've been tempted on that murders, one.
Only Murders in the Building.
Yeah.
I have absolutely no idea what's going on. I know they do a podcast in it.
So yeah. That's interesting.
A true crime podcast. Yeah. So I'm watching this thing, and I turned it on last night because I saw a tweet from Steve Martin, of all things, saying, like, I wasn't going to tweet about this, but screw it. Here we go. and so I saw that, so I turned it on. And lo and behold, not only is it Steve Martin, but there's Martin Short and a whole bunch of other people.
Right.
And we're old enough that we know who these people are, and we grew up with these people.
Yeah.
And to have them all on one screen, it's like nuts.
Yeah.
Like, it's nuts.
Yeah.
And it revolves around this podcast. Like, I'm watching them listen to this podcast, and I'm like, dude, we are like two steps away from that being us. Yeah. Like, if we could just get a little cooler, we could make it into a show.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've been watching that, but I may have to switch over to Loki because we both need to be watching that at the same time so that we can talk about it.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, a lot of good stuff right now.
For sure. I'll mention really quick on releases, not a ton this week. Outside of Lake, that's a significant one in our world, at least, that we're excited about. And so that did release officially in the past week. And so if that's a game that you're looking forward to, like we're looking forward to, go pick that one up.
2 weeks in a row, we got through the freaking show notes.
Well, we did it today. Go by GamingAssistant.com and see what we missed, because we did skip over a couple of things.
Okay, fair enough.
So, we got close.
Yeah, we did. We got close. Thank you, Peebles.com.
Yes.
For helping us with that. I really feel good about where things are. Just getting back to the stuff that's coming up. I'm looking forward to the showcase on Thursday. That's a big deal.
Tokyo Game Show is around the corner, something we didn't talk about this in the show notes. That's coming up in a couple weeks. And so, yeah. It's an exciting time. Lots of big games coming, too. We're in that kind of pre-holiday release window that stuff's going to start happening.
It is. It's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of cool stuff. And as I said last week, there's a lot of crap going on in the world, so it's really nice to turn on a video game and just get lost.
Yeah.
And I know you guys are doing that as well. And here is our little girl to finish up the show.
You got me here right in time.
What is going on, little girl?
Can you say hi?
You're not going to talk to me, are you?
Just wait.
Hey! What's going on?
Good.
You doing good? What'd you do today?
We'll go see it in a little bit. What'd you do today?
What did you do today? You're so funny.
I've been hanging out with your daddy. That's what I've been doing.
What else?
What else? Well, I played some video games. I'm gonna go get the mail game in a minute. That's what I'm gonna do right after this.
Do you like delivering mail?
Yeah.
That's a good game.
Yeah, we're definitely gonna have to talk about that, and me.
Where's the mail game?
It's in the other room.
We're all gonna go play it in a minute. How about that?
Let's go play.
Well, we gotta finish the show first.
Are you ready to wrap this up? Are you ready? Do you remember what we say?
Yeah.
What do we say? Say it.
I am Amp.
That's it! I love it! We're out!
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gamingandcensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.